Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
I'm Heidi Moore of The Guardian, in for Brian Lehrer, and I'm joined now by Beth Fertig, WNYC's education reporter and school book contributor, to talk about the new high school report cards released yesterday. She's right here in the studio with me. Hi, Beth.
Hi.
So these aren't students' report cards, right? They're for the high schools themselves. And overall, should principals be stuffing these at the bottom of their book bags, or were the grades something to brag about?
These report cards are what the city calls progress reports because they're really looking at how much progress schools make. And they give them A through F report cards, which are very, very detailed. And it's not something that you can really send home in a book bag because most parents will have a really mind-boggling time trying to figure this out. They have a whole section on the website where they explain it. It's taken reporters years to understand this. They're now in their sixth year of giving these out. And when they call them progress reports, that's because what they're really doing is they're looking at the data for each school, how kids performed on tests, how many kids are graduating. When they look at high schools, they do this for the elementary and middle schools too, and their reports came out prior to Superstorm Sandy back in the fall. Mm-hmm. These took a while. They were delayed because of the storm. But there's about 500 high schools. And so with high schools, what they look at is attendance, graduation rates, how kids are doing as they're taking their courses. Are they on track to graduate? How kids are doing in terms of the courses that they're taking. Are they considered rigorous? That's a new measurement that the city is looking at right now, which it calls college ready. Mm-hmm. So they're looking at, are the students taking classes that are really like high-level math and science and the stuff that you need to get into college? And are they doing well enough on their math and Regents exams to be considered successful in college? In other words, they won't have to take a remedial course at CUNY. That's the threshold for right. what they consider college ready. And so they grade the schools on that. And that's what's new this year is that college readiness, along with attendance and courses and test scores and things like that, they're looking at college readiness counts for 10% of a school's overall score.
Right. Interesting. So listeners, I'm Heidi Moore in for Brian Lehrer, and we can take a couple of calls for Beth Fertig of schoolbook.org on this. Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. If you have a question about the high school report cards, parents, do you check your child's school grade? Teachers, principals, are you consciously working to improve or maintain your grade? Call us at 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So, Beth, one of the interesting things about your story about the report cards on schoolbook.org this morning, there's a map with red, green, or white dots, depending on whether the high schools got a worse grade, a better one, or stayed the same. It looked like most schools actually stayed the same, right? Is that surprising?
Yeah, the city says that, in fact, 95% of all schools either got the same grade or were one grade higher or lower, meaning they didn't move very much. There was a lot of stability. And they use that argument to counter the critics who say that these are subject to wide variations, huge fluctuations. It looks almost arbitrary when a school will go from a B to a D and then the city decides to close them because the city uses these report cards to determine whether it's going to close failing schools or struggling schools, whatever terminology you prefer. And in fact, this year they picked out 24 secondary schools that they'd like to close or shrink potentially after having some hearings and looking a little closer at the schools themselves. That list will probably narrow and then they'll have a vote on it next spring, which is always very, very controversial in neighborhoods around the city. They want to keep their schools. So they've been taking a lot of criticism over the years. But in fact, on the high school report cards, they do say 95% of the schools didn't move very much. What we see on our chart on schoolbook.org is where there was the most variation in terms of schools that mm-hmm. went up or down. And what you see is a concentration of schools, 23 schools I counted in northern Manhattan, you know, the Harlem, Washington Heights area and the Bronx, where schools went down a grade.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see about 13 schools in that same area that went up a grade. So that just shows that the schools that went down are really concentrated in these low-income areas of Upper Manhattan and the Bronx. There's also some in Brooklyn and, you know, other parts of the city as well. Schools vary everywhere. But again and again, and even by the city's own metrics, they say that the lowest scores tended to be in the Bronx. And this has happened year after year. And when they target the schools that they want to close, they did pick out 9 in the Bronx this year that they want to close or shrink.
Which raises a good question. I mean, do they take into account how many of those students are English language learners or have learning disabilities or, you know, factors like that in these report cards?
Yeah, they do. And in fact, that's why they think that their methodology is so accurate, because they're comparing the schools to schools with similar populations, what they call a peer group or a peer index. And they also award extra points to a school that will do a good job with kids who are low income, Black and Latino boys, special education students, English language learners. If a school shows that it's making progress with those kids and their graduation rates are going up, or they're accumulating more credits from year to year, or they're staying in college, then the school can get extra points. And I could give an example, if you want, of one school, just so we could talk about a little more concretely.
Yeah.
So the Frederick Douglass Academy, the second secondary school, which is 6th through 12th school in Harlem, their high school report card just came out yesterday, and they got an A. And they were very, very excited because last year they got a C from the city. And this is a school that's in a low-income area, gets kids from the Bronx and Harlem, mostly all Black and Latino. And they, you know, their graduation rate is a little better than the citywide average. It's about 68% of students graduate in 4 years. So that gives the school some extra points. But they made a lot of progress. And last year, you know, when they compared kids from last year to this year, they saw that their special education students did so much better in terms of their graduation rates, in terms of the courses they were taking. So that gave the school extra points. The college readiness index, which is the new thing this year that counts for 10%, that also helped the school, because overall, 24% of the kids who graduated in 4 years were considered ready for college. Now, that doesn't sound very good, and we can talk about
doesn't.
That. Citywide, it was about 29%. But when you look at similar populations, that's considered really fantastic that they got 24% of their kids ready for college. But beyond that, another thing that the city looked at was, are kids in college 6 months, 12 months, a year after graduating? 18 months later after graduating, something like 2/3 of their students were still in college. And so that also gave the school extra points. So, you know, you have to look at what type of population they've got, how much progress they're making, and that's why that school got an A this year, and they're very proud of the progress that they're making. They did better than schools with similar populations.
That's really interesting. Well, let's go to Chandler from Manhattan. He has a question. Chandler, are you with us?
Yes.
What's your question?
Given the resource, given the sources for this information, how believable do you think that the information is?
Beth, what do you think?
That's for you to decide. You know, I'm taking the data that the Department of Education gives us, and we're looking at it, you know, with a skeptical eye like anybody else would. Now, the teachers union says that they don't trust this, that they believe that the schools should be given more help and less focus on numbers. And that's the argument that they've been making consistently, especially when the city decides to close schools and it's sure to come up again. They've picked out, you know, as I said, 24 schools that they either may consider closing or shrinking, getting rid of their middle grades. And so that's going to be another battle. Did those schools get the aid and the resources and the attention that, you know, their supporters will think that they should have gotten more of? And the city will probably argue again that they did give them the attention, and that, you know, principals, they all do a different job. You know, some principals do a better job of handling their budgets and directing the resources at kids who need the extra help than other principals.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's also take a call from Cyrus in Brooklyn. He's a student, right? Hi, Cyrus.
Hi.
Do you have a question for Beth?
It's more of a comment. I've heard multiple teachers from the inter-city schools that I've gone to just really loathe how much the standardized testing, how much that is weighted into the report card grade.
Yeah, it is a big factor. In fact, with the elementary and middle schools, I think there's been a lot more criticism of that because they're so heavily dependent on state math and reading scores. With high schools, it's watered down a little bit because they also have other factors that they look at, like how many credits students are accumulating in their freshman and sophomore years, when they graduate, their SAT scores, their attendance, their, you know, the college readiness index, what courses they're taking. So that stuff makes the high school grades a little bit more stable, the city would argue. But again, people do criticize this over-reliance on testing and say that the schools sometimes have very difficult populations, especially transfer schools. There's, you know, no two schools are exactly similar.
So let me ask you this then. What does it mean to be in an A school versus an F school? What should parents think about those grades?
This is why it gets confusing, because an A school doesn't necessarily have the top scoring kids, like the Frederick Douglass Academy. You know, 67% of them graduate, but that doesn't mean it's Stuyvesant, you know, or the Bronx High School for Science, which is taking kids that are coming in having succeeded on these specialized exams and being, you know, the top in their middle schools. This is a school that's doing a very good job, the city would say, with students who come in with much lesser grades, and it's turning them into college-ready pupils. So the A, the B, it's going to be a little bit different. Every school that you look at, they compare them to not just citywide, but to their peer group, schools with similar demographics. That's another point of contention, is there are teachers and principals out there who say, you know, we don't really agree with our peer group, so to speak. The city's comparing us to similar schools, but we don't really think that we're so similar to those other schools. So that's where you get into some of the nitty-gritty arguments.
Yeah, but some of the numbers can be really startling. I mean, East Flatbush High School has a college readiness rate of just under 12%. I mean, that's a little shocking to read.
It is. And citywide, as I mentioned, 29% of students are considered ready for college after, you know, when they graduate in 4 years. It's a little bit more if you count kids who take longer to graduate. But college readiness, the city defines that as having gotten at least a 75 or more on your English regents and an 80 or more on your math regents. So that's what CUNY considers to not have to take remedial classes. Mm. So you're ready for college if you get that, not just passing, but doing better than passing. And then they also factor in the classes you take. Are they considered really, you know, higher level classes like calculus or advanced placement classes, things like that? So college readiness is much, much lower. There's a huge gap between college readiness and college graduation rates. And the city says at this day and age where we're putting more focus on standards and more students have to go to college or post-secondary type of institutions to prepare for careers, reading skills are in much more demand than ever before. Higher level thinking skills in this economy, you really can't get anywhere without a high school degree. Mm-hmm. And you certainly need a post-secondary degree of some sort to get a good paying job. So the city says this is forcing us to take a look at that gap between college readiness and college graduation rates, and schools will hopefully put more attention into it. But it's tricky because, again, in the case of the Frederick Douglass Academy, so 24% of students were considered ready for college. But 18 months after graduation, two-thirds of them were still enrolled in college. So that obviously meant that they were ready for some type of college if they got in and stayed, you
right.
know? So it's still a tricky thing.
Yeah, I should point out that that East Flatbush High School number of 12% college readiness is actually the high school with the highest grade, according to the New York Post. So I have one last question for you. Let's answer to this quickly if we can. Today, one of the storm-damaged schools reopened in Bell Harbor in Queens after Hurricane Sandy. So to what extent are those schools back to normal after the storm?
Most of them have moved back to their homes, and there may still be some patchwork fixes going on, like a temporary boiler that's going to be upgraded, or they're still, you know, doing floor repairs or basement repairs. But there's still 12 schools, I believe, at this moment that are out of their buildings. Some will return in the next week or two, but there are a few that aren't going to return until January or beyond, especially in the Rockaways and Coney Island, because there's still so much damage to their buildings. You're talking about boilers and heating systems and electrical systems that were you know, flooded in basements, and the schools really have to do some more repairs.
Yeah, it's really brutal out there. Well, we'll have to leave it there. I've been speaking to Beth Fertig, WNYC's education reporter and school book contributor, about the high school report cards. You can see some of the charts we've been talking about at schoolbook.org. Thanks, Beth.
You're welcome.
Up next, Freakonomics Radio host Stephen Dubner talks about their latest episode.